Can you hear me now? All right, I can't hear me, so if y'all can hear me, that's all about it. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter number 22, all right? When you get your place, say amen. Amen. All right, I get my place, we'll be all right. Good to have you visiting. I appreciate y'all coming today, every one of you. Amen? Amen. Appreciate you being here. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 22. All right, everybody, by now the deacons have found it, right? Amen. All right. 2 Samuel 22. Let's read. And I tell you what, I don't want to bore you today. I hope the Bible doesn't bore you. Amen. The Bible ought not bore you. But I'm going to read the whole chapter, okay? I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, but I'm going to read the whole chapter. Because I feel like you need to get the whole chapter to know the context of what's going on. But in 2 Samuel 22, I want you to look with me. The Word of God says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this psalm in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." So we see here that this is a song, and David is singing this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him. So it's a song of praise. And so verse 2 said, "He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my salvation, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because He was wroth. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub, and did fly. And He was seen upon the wings of the wind. And He made darkness pavilions round about Him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before Him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. And He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. For they were too strong for me, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay." Hallelujah. "He brought me forth into a large place." I like that part. "He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before Him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the poor, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people, thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, and thou mayest bring them down. Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God, I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, setteth me upon my..." Woo! Hallelujah. "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies, I destroyed them, and returned not again until I consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not rise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save them. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. I want you to pay attention to that right here to verse number 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation.
Amen.
It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we need you this morning. I need you. I pray that you touch me. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, as we look into your Word, we see how much you love us. We see how you care for us. We see how you protect and take care of your people and watch over us. Lift us up. God, we're thankful for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that we're not in the miry pit of sin this morning. We're not in miry clay. Thank you, Lord God, we don't have to go to hell this morning. But God, thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us a new life in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for not only the life now, but life eternal. Lord, as we look to spend an eternity with you, God, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We want to say thank you, Lord God, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, here in this chapter, we find David's response of praise for how God had delivered him out of the hands of his enemies. Out of Saul, we think of Saul, how God had delivered David from the hands of Saul, and not only Saul, but all of his other enemies. If you remember, Saul desired and he sought out to kill David ever since the time that God put his hand of favor on David. You remember when Jesse went down, Samuel went down to Jesse's and he went down there and God picked out David. He said, that's going to be the one that's going to be the king. From that time on, when Saul heard it ringing in his ears that God had another little boy down there, a shepherd boy, David. Listen, he wasn't in the kingly line. He wasn't in the family of Saul. But God picked out David and God put favor on David and said David was going to be the next king. Old King Saul wanted to kill David. Y'all all right? Hey, and let me say something to you this morning. You need to remember that when God chooses to bless you, when God chooses to use you, not everybody's going to like it. You might as well say amen. Well, listen, when you get saved and you start serving God, and God carves out a path, God sets you in a large place, God puts you in a place of service, God puts you in a place where you can be carrying out, listen, His will in your life, and God has you in a capacity where you're being blessed, I'm telling you that when God's using you, not everybody around you is going to like it. There's some people that may come against you. I'm going to just say this. Hey, there may come some accusations. There may come some attacks that are accompanying the approval of God in your life.
Yeah.
Don't be mistaken, friend. Don't let the man on television lie to you. Just because attacks and just because accusations come your way doesn't mean that God's against you. Sometimes it means God's for you and the enemy's against you. Hey, let me say this. When you and the devil was going the right, same direction, y'all didn't have no confrontation. Heard about a woman, she said, well, preacher said, the devil never bothers me, he never attacks me, he never comes against me. He said, you might want to see which direction you're going in. You might be on the wrong team. Are you listening to me? When you get saved, when God starts using you, some of y'all used to be in the barroom. Hey, man, you're singing in the choir. Some of you used to be, listen, some of you used to run the road and run with women. Some of you used to do all kinds of things we don't want to talk about today. Hey, but God saved you. God changed you. God turned your life around, and you're not where you used to be. You're not running with the crowd you used to run with. Your life's been changed. You've been made different. You got new life in Christ. And there's some folks that don't like it. Hey, some folks don't like it. Oh, yeah. Now, listen, some of you didn't get saved off the bar school. Some of you got saved off the church pew. Hey, these people don't like that. There's a lot of religious people that don't like to see church people get saved because it makes them uncomfortable because they don't get down the south. They ain't got what it takes. Oh, yes, friend. I'm simply saying when God puts His stamp of approval on your life, there may come some accusations and there may come some attacks. God had anointed David. God had said, David's going to be the one. Are you listening?
Yeah.
David's going to be the king of Israel. Saul didn't like it. There was others that didn't like it. Remember, David's own brother didn't like it. Y'all all right? Hey, and I'm telling you, there was some that come against David and they tried to kill him. And now here in this psalm, David is looking back and he's seeing how God had delivered him. He's seeing how God had saved him from all of his adversaries. He's seen how God had preserved his life. And now in this psalm, here in 2 Samuel 22, and you can read Psalm 18, it's identical just about. And you can see how David is beginning to thank God and he's beginning to praise God for all of God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's protection in his life. And then I like what he said in verse 47. That's what I want you to look at with this morning.
Glory.
In verse 47, he says, the Lord liveth.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
He said, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. I like that. He said, my rock. He didn't just say a rock or any rock, but he said, blessed be my rock.
Amen.
Amen. And watch this. And exalted be the God of my salvation. Exalted be the God of my sin. Now, here in this verse, I see David realizes that God was the source of life. He said, the Lord liveth. The Lord liveth. Y'all do understand that it's by Him and through Him that we live, move, and have our being. Without God, we'd have no life.
Amen.
And you got saved. Colossians 3 said, in Christ, who is our life.
Yes.
Hey, listen, when you got saved, Christ is your life.
Right.
And let me just say it, you may be physically alive, but if you hadn't been saved, you're still spiritually dead.
Right. Right.
And David realized that the Lord liveth. Hey, Buddha don't live. Muhammad don't live. Are you listening to me? Hare Krishna don't live. Hey, but the Lord liveth. That's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord, that's the Jehovah God. Hey, that's the Jehovah, the God of heaven. Are you listening to me? That's Yahweh. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord liveth.
Amen.
He's the source of our life. Not only that, He's the safety and the security in my life.
Amen.
Watch it now. He said, blessed be the what? The rock. My rock. Blessed be my rock. What's a rock? A symbol of a rock's a symbol of protection.
Yep.
He hideth my life in the cleft of the rock.
Yep.
I've heard that song. Come out of the Bible. It's based out of the Bible truth. Hey, listen. Hey, a rock is you get in a cleft of a rock and you find protection from the enemy. You find protection from the storms of life. A rock is a symbol of safety. Listen, he's not talking about a little stone. He's not talking about a little ground. He's talking about a boulder. And he said, the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock. My security, my safety is found in God this morning. And then he said, and watch this. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. So not only do we find the source of life, not only do we find the safety and the security of life, but we find salvation of life in our God. You do know the Bible does say over in Saul and then in Jonah 2:9 and over, and listen, We have it several times throughout the Bible. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord.
Right.
Salvation is not of the church.
Right.
You might as well say amen. I'm going to preach this the Bible. Hey, salvation is not in the denomination.
Right.
Hey, salvation is not in your church membership. Salvation is not found in a baptistry. Salvation is not found in communion. Hey, salvation is not found in being American. It's not found in being white. It's not found in being rich. It's not found in being poor. But salvation is found in a personal relationship with the God of heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, you do not have salvation. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Yeah, man. You might as well say amen. So, there's a lot in that little verse. But I want to pull out that little word in the middle of it. And he said, and exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation. Just for a few minutes, I want to preach on this thought. Let God be exalted. Let God be exalted. Now David here, in this verse, he's saying that God should be exalted. He said, let God be exalted. Be exalted. What is exalted, preacher? To be exalted means to be raised high, to be lifted up, to be brought up, to be set on high, and to be held high. Now listen, there's a lot of people that's held high in our day. You may hold people high. It may be a politician. It may be a sports figure. Are you listening? It may be a businessman. It may be somebody in your life, and you hold them high. But I will say to you this morning, there's nobody, there's nothing that you ever, 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 ever need to hold high or should hold high or you better not hold high as you hold the God of heaven.
Right.
He said, exalted. Y'all not getting it. Exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. But as a little kid, my dad scared me to death. I was about 3 or 4 years old. My dad took me up on this mountain. They call it Humpback Rock. If you go up the Blue Ridge Parkway in Virginia, right, looking over top of the hometown I live, there's a mountain, and you, I don't know, it seems like you climb all day. I never want to go back up there, to be honest with you. But there's a big old rock on top, and they call it Humpback Rock. You can look it up, probably find it on the internet. Humpback Rock, I remember my dad going up there, and it seemed like, honestly, I don't think, from that viewpoint, I don't think there was anything over top of it, except the glass. Y'all all right?
Yep.
And let me just help y'all out. I'm scared of heights. Always have been, always will be until I get that glorified body. I ain't interested. Somebody, Brother Mike Daniel called me the other day. Somebody was talking to him about flying over to Israel. I said, Brother Mike, I'll be honest with you. I don't have no desire to go to Israel until I'm riding a white horse.
Yeah.
Are y'all all right?
Amen.
There's a lot of good things over there, but I'm not interested. Hey, listen. Hey, I'm just telling you, I got God with me.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Amen. I don't need to be where He was if He's where I am.
Amen.
Woo! Y'all catch on that in a minute. What I'm trying to say is I'm scared of heights, but it seemed like we climbed up on a Humpback Rock. Seemed like there wasn't another tree that no higher than that. Seemed like, as far as the best I remember, you look across the mountains, and I don't even want to go back up there and double check. Y'all can go up there and find out for me. But when you look off that rock, it seemed like you could see the world. Nothing above. You know what? As I think about that, that's the way we ought to view our God. That's the way we ought to lift up our God. We ought to see that our God, He's high above it all. If they tell me that the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Smoky Mountains, they tell me that these mountain ranges around here are nothing compared to the Rocky Mountains or the Alps. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If they hire them, I don't want to see them either.
Amen.
Let's go to the Grand Canyon, preacher. I'll see you when you get back, all right? All right? Y'all all right? I see pictures of them crazy people going over to the Grand Canyon and standing on the edge of that thing. I'm telling you, I don't even like looking at them pictures. Y'all all right? I'm telling you, man, I just tense up. I'm just telling y'all I do. I saw a video the other day. Somebody was jumping off of one of these big Empire State Buildings, one of these big high buildings, high rises in one of these big cities. They was doing these crazy stunt stuff. They jumped off with parachutes. And, man, they get off to the edge of them. I just, y'all tough guys, y'all can handle it. Scared. My wife says, I want to go jump out of an airplane. I said, why in the world would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? That don't make a lick of sense to me.
Amen.
An airplane's built to fly. I was built to walk. Yeah, man. But listen, Hey, we ought to lift our God. We ought to exalt God. We ought to have a view of God that He's above everything. He's above everyone. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. In other words, David was saying, in my life and in my lips, he said, I want to lift up. I want to exalt my God up above anything, up above everything, up even above everyone in our life. There's a lot of people, you may think about somebody in your life, maybe a mama, maybe a daddy, maybe a grandpa, or papa, or mama, or somebody. You lift them up and you think, ain't nobody like them. I got news for you, as good as they were to you on the human side, they pale in comparison to the God of heaven and how good He's been in your life. Oh yeah, friend. David said, I want to lift up God above everything, above anything. Now listen, David had come through a lot of things. He'd come through a lot of trials. Well, listen to what he said. He said, I want to exalt God. Let God be exalted. Can I say this morning, we ought to let God be exalted. Hey, listen, over my likes. Amen. That's the things I do like. We ought to let God be exalted over my dislikes. To be honest, we make mountains out of molehills over the things we don't like. Hey, God's bigger. He's greater. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Hey, I'll let God be bigger than my preferences. I'll let lift God up, exalt Him higher than my position. Somebody gets to be the CEO and they think, well, I don't need God. Look up in here. Listen, as big as you are, you're as a worm in God's eyes.
Right.
You're nothing but a dirty, rotten sinner without the grace of God.
Right.
No matter how much money you got in your pocket, doesn't matter what. You say, well, I pulled up myself by my own bootstraps. Who do you think gave you the gumption and the nerve? Hey, who think gave you the ability to even find some bootstraps? Much less to pull them off. One for God, you wouldn't even have a boot.
Amen.
Yeah, man, we ought to exalt God above my problems. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. Some people, I'm afraid to ask them how they're doing. Because they'll tell me. You know what I'm talking about. How you doing? And the next thing you know, 2 hours later, you're still trying to pick yourself up off the ground where they done weighed you down. Listen, it's one thing to share your burden. It's one thing to ask somebody to pray for you. But man, I'm telling you one thing. If you know the God of heaven, I'm talking about David. He went through some trials. He's come through some things in life. And as he's looking back, he said, exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation.
Right.
I'm telling you, God's bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any trial. He's bigger than anything you ever think. We ought to exalt Him and make much of Him. Let Him have His rightful place. God ought to be exalted above my cares. Oh yeah, friend. My cares, my fears, the things that bother me. Hey, God's bigger than them. We ought to exalt Him over my concerns. You think David didn't have no concerns when they was trying to kill him? You think he didn't have concerns when Saul was throwing javelins at his head? You think David didn't have concerns when he's going through the forest hiding from his enemy that people he thought was his friend? They turned around and tried to kill him because God had put approval on him and had favor on him? Or let God be exalted above my critics. Let me say this. If you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to stand for God, you're going to have critics. Some of y'all are going to have to understand this. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to be faithful to God, if you're going to stand for the Word of God, if you're going to share the gospel in this wicked and perverse generation in which we live, I'm telling you, you are going to have critics.
Right.
You're not always going to be, here it is, you're not going to always be politically correct. Preachers, hey, listen, I tell you what, that's what's wrong with preachers. That's what's wrong with our country is a bunch of preachers trying to get politically correct, never hurt nobody's feelings. They're afraid to preach the Word of God. Hey, what? This is what thus saith the Lord. They're always saying, can I say, may I say, hogwash on may I say. Hey, thus saith the Lord. You're going to have to get past your critics. You're going to have critics. You're going to live for Jesus. You're going to raise your family in church. You're going to take them to church when the doors are open. Hey, if you're going to be counted worthy for the cause of Christ, I'm telling you, you are going to have critics. But when critics come, let God be exalted. Let God be exalted above my capital.
Woo.
It's preaching time right here. What's my capital? That's my possessions. Everything I've got. Y'all might as well say amen because it can get real hard right here. There's a lot of people, they serve God and they want to please God until they get a little bit of money in their pocket. And then I can't come to church, preacher, because I gotta fill in the blank. And they let the things that God blessed them with become a hindrance and a distraction from them being faithful to the God who blessed them. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, in America, I think we have become cursed with blessings.
Yep.
You say that don't make sense, preacher. Sure it does. God, just like the nation of Israel, hey, they asked for more. They asked for more. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said He sent down, He gave them quail to eat. Remember, they wasn't happy with the manna. He gave them manna. But the Bible said that He sent leanness into their souls. Stop chewing out a little bit. He gave them what they wanted, but they lost what they had. Oh yeah, that'll be in a message somewhere along the line, coming real soon. Let God be exalted above my possessions. Listen, if you got something that keeps you away from God, you ought to burn it. I don't care if it's a boat, a house. I don't care if it's a hot rod car. I don't care if it's a fishing pole or a shopping mall. I don't care. Listen, if you got something that keeps you out of God's house, if you got something that keeps you from being faithful to God, hey, listen, you better get rid of it. You better bring it down. Because if you don't bring it down, God will. I'm sitting here saying, hey, we ought to exalt God above our capital. We ought to exalt God above my comrades. That's my friends.
Amen.
I can't come to church because I got some friends coming over. Bring them to church.
Amen.
I can't serve God. I got to hang out with my buddies. If your buddies don't want to serve God, they're not too good of buddies.
Amen.
Hey, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's still in the Bible.
Right.
Hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Hey, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hey, Brother Isaac, that's still in the book, ain't it?
Right.
Oh yeah, you better watch the friends you run with. You better let God be exalted over your friendships.
That's right.
You better let God be exalted. You might want to let God, hey listen, let God be exalted over your comforts. Oh yeah. Too many of us talk about our comforts, our conveniences. Well, I'd serve God, but it would cost me something. Bingo. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross. And follow. What's a cross? A cross is a symbol of death, isn't it, Brother Mitchell? A cross is a symbol of death. That means it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. Hey, listen, the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Can I tell y'all something today? I know it's afternoon, but listen. I think it's about 6:40 or something like that tonight. I really don't even know. If I saw it on the news last night, 6:40. Maybe it was 5:40 or 6:40. There's going to be a lot of people that leave their comforts of their house. They're going to leave a warm living room. Y'all might as well say amen. I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. They're going to leave a nice soft couch, warm with fire in front of them, central air and heat. They're going to leave all that. And they're going to go down to Charlotte and sit in a cold stadium with snow all around them. And they're going to sit there and breathe, watching their breath rise above. And they're going to be out of the comforts and out of the conveniences, but they're going to be doing what they love. Because you know why? That's something that's exalted. Is anything watching football? No, ain't nothing wrong with it. But let me ask you a question. Why can't we exalt God above all these other things?
Right.
There's probably people that took a day of vacation to go watch the Panthers get beat. Are you listening? Hey, there's probably people that took money out of their savings account so they could buy tickets to go watch the Panthers. Or the Broncos or whoever it is. Are you listening? I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to get you to see something. Hey, I'm trying to say, we say, well, I can't afford to give the missions, but we'll go on free vacations a year. Hey, man, it's preaching time up in here yonder. Oh, come on, y'all listen to me. Ride with me. Say amen. Whoa, Nelly, something. I can't help nobody because I got to go fishing. Ain't nothing wrong fishing. Don't get mad at me over here, fisherman. Hey, listen, if you can't help somebody because you're too busy in your comforts and in your conveniences of life, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, I want to serve God, but I want to do it in my backyard. What if God calls you to China? What if God calls you to Montana? What if God calls you to California or to Idaho? What if God calls you to West Virginia? What if God takes you away from mama and daddy? What if God takes you somewhere else? Are you willing to go? Hey, let me say, listen, you ought to exalt God above your conveniences and your comforts. Oh, yeah, He deserves it. He deserves. Let me say this. Hey, let me say this right. Serving God is not always easy, but it's always worth it.
Right.
Amen, Brother Robbie. If it's easy, everybody do it. If it's easy to be faithful, everybody be faithful. If it was easy, hey, listen to me. If it was easy, Brother Will, if it was easy, everybody do it.
Yep.
But it's some sacrifices. There's some conveniences we give up. When I get up on Saturday mornings to go knock on doors, hey, sometimes we go out and knock on doors, it's cold. And I'd rather be in my living room. I'm just being honest with you, in my flesh.
Yep.
Y'all say amen. I ain't even got them appointments yet, so y'all help me.
Amen.
I'm hung up right here. Sometimes we got to give up some things. Sometimes Oh, my. I've had my wife call me, Brother Robin. It was just true. He's with me one night. And supper's ready. And I ain't home for a couple more hours. Because we're out knocking on the door. Sometimes you give up some things. We don't want to hear about that no more. We want a convenient Christianity. We want a comfortable Christianity. We want a Christianity on our schedule. We want a Christianity that doesn't cost us anything. Let me say this, Christianity that doesn't cost you anything is not Christianity. David said, well, I'm going to exalt God above my enemies. A lot of people can't enjoy the Christian life because they're too worried about their enemies. David had enemies all around him. David, when you read his life, he was surrounded at times. He was hiding in the forest. He had enemies all around him. Remember, one passage, I forget the exact phrase, but he said something like, there's one step between me and death. Are y'all there? Man, what if he concentrated on his enemies? If you concentrate on your enemies, here's what you'll do, you'll hibernate. If you concentrate on your enemies and those that's going to come against you, you will lock yourself up in a box and you will accomplish nothing for the glory of God. I tell you what you've got to do. You've got to realize that you're made more than a conqueror. You've got to realize you're an overcomer. You've got to realize that in Christ you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Hey, you've got to rise up in the name of Jesus. And you've got to realize, hey, that your enemies are not as great as your God, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
Hey, if God's greater than the devil, He's sure not greater than your boss man that comes against you. Are you listening to me? Or your neighbor, or your wife, or whoever it may be that comes against you and tries to hinder you. If God's greater than Satan himself, he can sure enough handle me. Listen, let God be exalted above my distresses, my worries. Y'all don't have distresses in life. I know y'all don't know him, nobody, no problems. Look in verse 5 and 6 of the chapter we read. He's greater than my... Watch this. God is exalted even above death. He said, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I gave up. In my distress, I locked myself up and hid. Is that what it says in verse 7? Somebody help me. No, it says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Are you listening? God, listen, God is exalted even above death if it costs me facing death. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Let me give you four things right quick. Say, preacher, why should I exalt God above all these things? Preacher, why does God deserve this exalted position? Why is God above all other gods? Why is God better than Allah? Why is God better than whoever else you want to name? Why is He better than Buddha? Why is He better? I'll tell you why. Give me your four things. Look down here in verse number 48. Look at verse number 48. God, let Him be exalted because verse 48 says, because God is my protection. He is my protection. What does he say in verse 48? It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me. What does that word avenge mean? It means that God gets revenge for me. There's a lot of Christians need to learn this. Somebody does you wrong, you don't have to get them back. You say, well, I'm going to do this because they did that. You're in the wrong place. You're taking God's place. Let God be exalted. Let God do His job. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And God will. Think about David. Think about it. Y'all remember David had a chance? Y'all remember it? Was it twice that he had the chance? One time he went down and even cut the skirt of Saul, did he not? And then he asked him to forgive him. And listen, remember that? That's where that phrase, cuts not the anointing, God's anointing, that's where it comes from. Y'all know that. And David had the opportunity on multiple occasions to kill Saul, but he let him go. He said, that's not my spot, that's God's spot. And y'all know what happened sooner or later? God avenged David. And all his enemies were killed. His brother was killed. Saul was killed. And David was reigning as king. Y'all know how David died? David didn't die in battle. David died, listen, at an old age. Are y'all listening to me? We all going to die. I'm not saying we all going to die physically, unless the rapture takes place. But in this life, David said, God is my protection. God avenges me. Not only does God get vengeance, I like it. He said, it is He, watch verse number 48, and that bringeth down the people under me. Here's what he's saying. God's going to take them down. I don't have to take them down. There's a lot of people, they waste their time. They go around, their life's miserable because they can't enjoy the Christian life because they're too busy trying to ruin somebody else's life. If we just listen, if we'll just enjoy the life that Christ has given us, and we'll just learn to walk in victory and by faith walk with God, God can handle our enemies. He'll avenge us. He'll take them down when it's time for them to go down. You say, well, how do I let the Muslims? God's got them under control. Y'all don't believe that, do you? They cut their heads off. Let them cut. Where you going, heaven? You can't hurt me. What the old song said, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. Are y'all saved? Hey, if you're saved, I don't necessarily like them and what their agenda's for. I don't necessarily want them around me, just be honest with you, in my flesh. But I don't have to walk around feared of them all the time. Yep. And I don't. God's got it under control. Yeah. We talk about the presidents. We talk about the election. God's got it all under control.
Right.
He's going to get vengeance. He's going to bring down who needs to come down. Number two, not only is He my protection, in verse 49, He's my promotion.
Right.
You see this, I've said this before, but the Christian life is never to be lived on a plateau status. The Christian life is going to be up, down, up, down, up, down. But if you use the graph it out, it's going to be higher at the end than it was at the beginning.
Right.
I'm living by faith in Jesus alone. Hey, I'm moving on to higher ground. I'm looking for higher ground. How many's looking for higher ground?
Amen.
Watch verse 49. Here's what David said. And listen, and watch this, and that bringeth, still talking about God, verse 40, and verse 49 says, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. When you talk about somebody coming forth, being brought forth, what are they doing? They're making progress. Are you with me? If you're coming forth, you're making progress. Are you not? When you're coming forth, you're not going back. He didn't say He takes me back. He said He brings me forth.
Right.
He brings me forth from my enemies. So, in other words, God put me in front of my enemies.
Right.
Somebody said the other day, if they're kicking you in the rear end, that means you're in front of them. Hey, God is bringing me. Y'all going to have to get with this.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't got nothing better in the Bible. And He bringeth me forth from mine enemies.
Right.
And watch this. Not only do I see progress, but I see promotion. Watch this. Thou also hast lifted me up. It's the same word when we talk about God being exalted. It's the same word in the Hebrew. He lifted me up. Hey, listen, if you'll let God be exalted in His position, if you exalt Him, He'll exalt you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's the proud man that God has to bring down and put in the base. Hey, but the one who humbles himself, God can exalt in due time. Oh, yeah. Hey, and David said, I'm going to exalt God. I'm going to let God be exalted. And God said, David, if you're going to let me be exalted, hey, in your life, I'm going to exalt you. That's what he said. Watch now. And he said, he bringeth me forth. And then he said, thou hast lifted me up on high, how high? Above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. What about that? What about God was in control? What about David? Let God be exalted. And God said, David, I'm not going to bring you forth from your enemies, but I'm going to lift you up above your enemies. Hey, David, I'm going to set you on a throne, let you be the king over your enemies. Some of your enemies are going to die, but hey, you, David, you're going to reign. God said God lifted him up. Watch verse 3. I got to hurry. Some of y'all are going to sleep. Number 3, verse 50. God deserves this. Hey, he's not only my protection, he's not only my promotion, but he's my praise.
Amen.
He is my praise. Verse 50. Therefore, I will give thanks. That's what this psalm is. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of thanks. I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. To who? Not to the church, not to the preacher, not to the congregation. Hey, I give thanks unto the Lord. When you come in here and you sing, and when you praise, you're not doing it to get people's attention. You're not doing it to get somebody to look at you. You're not doing it so Brother Robbie's pleased or so the preacher's pleased. Hey, listen, when you're shouting hallelujah, amen, glory to God, waving your hands, hey, whatever you're doing to praise the Lord, when you're on the altar, hey, you're giving thanks to the Lord. And he said, among the heathen. And he said, and I will sing praises unto thy name. I like that, among the heathen. That's the nations. That's what he's talking about, the nations. Among the other nations, not the Jew, not just among the Israel, but among all the other Gentile nations, they're heathen nations. He said, I will give thanks unto you. And I will sing praise unto thy name. Literally, I will make music. I will celebrate in song. I will burst forth in song because of God, because of who He is, because of what He's done for me. Somebody said, preacher, I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing. The Bible doesn't say you have to be able to carry a tune. The Bible says the reason you sing in verse 40, verse 3, and He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know why I sing? It's not because I can sing. I'll be honest with you, when somebody records and plays, I hate to hear myself sing, brother. I'll be honest with you, I hate it. I think I'm awful. I appreciate the compliments that I've had. But listen, I'll tell you why I sing. My wife tell you, I try to, she'll say, why have you got to be so loud? I like to sing. You know why? Because when I got saved, He took the boot scooting boogie out and He put Jesus, paid it all in. Amen. Thank God He gave me a new song. And Jesus paid it all to Him I owe.
Glory.
He put a new song in my heart. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Put a new song in my mouth. You sing because God gave you a song, not because you got a good talent.
Right.
Hey, so a lot of people that's got talent and get up and sing and you don't get nothing out of it. But I've seen some people couldn't carry a tune in the bucket get up and try to sing. And man, something just touching the Lord. Pours it out on them. And because they got a heart, they got a song that God gave. Song. Do you got a song this morning? Do you got a song? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a song? Has He put a new song in your heart? Y'all all right? Before I got saved, I used to like to sing, who's going to fill their shoes? Y'all, I know y'all don't know what that is. All y'all self-righteous, y'all never heard it. Y'all so religious. I used to like it.
Right.
And now I like to hear stuff like, oh man, I can hear some of them. How's that song said? I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I met the Savior. What a story I tell.
Amen.
I'm saved and forgiven. Set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell.
Glory.
Let me say, let me know you're not going to hell. You got to go down the road once in a while. Just thanking God I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. Some of y'all are laughing because I can't sing. I know I can't sing, but I sure do got a good song.
Amen.
Hey, man, I might not have talent, but I sure got a song. Let me tell you something. You may not be able to carry a tune in the bucket, but God's been good to you. You've got something to sing. You've got a reason to praise Him. You've got a reason to give thanks because of who He is and because of what He's done. Hasn't God been good to you?
Amen.
He's our praise. Number 4, I got to go. He's my preservation. Look at verse 51. He, who? God. He is the tower of salvation for His King. Wait a minute. We talk about the King. We talk about the King. Why does the King need salvation? He's the tower of salvation for His King. Showeth mercy to His anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. He's the tower of salvation. David said, there's a tower I need to run to. Thank God He's the tower I can run to. He's got salvation. He's got the salvation. He is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. He showeth mercy to His anointed. If you're saved, you're His anointed. I to His seed forevermore. We understand David was the anointed in that day. David was anointed to be the king. And not only did God give David a promise, but God gave the line or the household of David a promise that they was going to sit on the throne of Israel. And can I tell you something? Amen. My hope is not in the White House. Amen. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in the God of heaven. And I'm telling you something. Listen up here. I don't care if it's a Democrat, a politician, a Tea Party, a Muslim. I don't care if it's an Egyptian. I don't care who it is, who takes over. But one day, hey, listen, they can be ruling this world. I'm telling you, hey, according to the Bible, this thing's boiling down. It's wrapping it up. And we're spiraling as fast as we can go toward a one world government. But I'm telling you, hey, listen, they're going to have their way for a little while. But there's coming a day when the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, He's going to mount a white horse. He's going to bring His armies. If you're saved, you're coming with Him. And He's coming back. He's coming to Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, when He comes back, He's not coming to a whipping post. They're not going to pluck His beard. They're not going to spit in His face. Hey, they're not going to throw Him around. They're not going to strip Him off His robe. They're not going to beat Him. They're not going to pluck Him. They're not going to whip Him. Hey, they're not going to put Him on a cross. They're not going to hang Him up. Hey, put a spear through His side. They're not going to put Him in a grave. I'm telling you, the next time He comes, He's not coming to die. But the next time He comes, He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He's coming to take over, friend.
Amen.
And that's where my faith's at this morning. I hope yours is. He's my preservation. Say, preacher, how can you say with confidence? Preacher, how can you say with assurity? Preacher, how can you say, hey, that you know that you're saved? I'll tell you how. Because just as long as God's alive, oh, my hope's in the blood. Just as long as Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, that's how long I'll be saved. He's my preservation this morning. What I'm trying to simply say this afternoon is God is worthy to be exalted. He's worthy. God's worthy to be exalted above your problems, your pride, everything you've got. God is worthy. Are you listening? He's worthy to be exalted in our lives. He's worthy to be exalted over everything. He's worthy to be exalted over everyone, everything, anything, everybody that you can think of, anybody you know, anybody you can imagine, anything you can think of. God, the God of heaven, He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to, hey, for you to set Him on high and say, God, you're already there. So in my heart and in my mind, I'm giving you the rightful place. You're exalted in my life. Oh yeah, friend. Nothing or no one ever compare to our God. Let me ask you this. If you said, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation, are you letting Him be exalted in your life? Or do you have problems that are exalted in your life? Do you have people that are exalted in your life? Do you have distractions that are exalted in your life? Do you see God? Is He exalted? Are you letting Him be exalted? Where's He at? Does He have His rightful place? Can I say there need not be no distraction in our life? We ought to let God, what did Colossians 1:18 said, that in Him, verse 18 says, that in Christ, in Him, should be all preeminence. He should have all preeminence in our life. Preeminence. Is He exalted? Let's stand this morning. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His encouragement. And I say this, church, let Him be exalted. Let Him be exalted in our lives. Let Him be exalted through our lips. Let Him be exalted in our homes. Let Him be exalted in our workplaces. Let Him be exalted especially in our church. He's worthy of our praise. Let's give Him His rightful place. He's exalted in your life this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, take the message, use it for your glory, for your honor. May everything we do, may everything we say, be be pleased and glorified unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You need to come to an altar. You come. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never been saved. God wants to save you. God's dealing with your heart. You need to be saved. Won't you come? Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I want God to be exalted in my life. I want to let God be exalted." Anybody like that? "Preacher, I want God to be exalted. And I want to be top of it. Won't we come around the altar and just gather around here? Listen, I hope you didn't waste your time. Just get out the snow. Come get some help. Come get some help. Gather down around this altar and say, "God, I want you to be exalted in my life. Have your rightful place in my life. I'm trusting you, God. I'm not trusting anybody else. God, I'm putting all my faith in you." As you pray, would you mind the Lord? Would you mind God? Oh, God, help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for loving us. Oh, God. Thank you. Oh, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for us. God, thank you for watching over us, taking care of us. God, thank you for the safety that you are. Thank you for meeting every need. Oh, God, thank you. We're thankful. God, thank you for a church. God, thank you for loving us. God, we exalt you this morning. We exalt you. God, we lift you up. God, we exalt you. We exalt you. God, help us to exalt you with our lives, through us our lips. Oh, God, we exalt you. Jesus, please, God. God, help us. God, help us. May you be number one in our life. And may you help us to point others to you. Oh, God, Jesus, please.